You got your quiz?
No.
What?
But I will blag it, don't worry.
Hello, welcome to Season 2, Episode 38, the season finale of the Tottenham Way podcast. And joining Dan and I this week is Jim and Ollie, here last part of the season and also the first part of the season as well. So a nice bit of symmetry there. Hello, guys.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Very well.
How is child rearing, Ollie?
It's tiring.
Yeah? You don't look any worse for it.
I probably look better.
Yeah, you look healthy. Yeah.
Well,
you know. Well, no, we don't. That's it.
Well, I shan't tell.
Welcome back, guys. This is your first appearance together, or all four of us together, since the Monaco preview game.
First Monaco,
yeah.
Way back.
Yeah, a long time ago, back in the old amateur years.
Not like nowadays.
Not like nowadays, where I have to do the intro three times, a little bit behind the curtain there. Dan, how are you, mate?
Very well, mate.
It's bloody hot, isn't it?
It is bloody hot, yeah.
But I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be so much better than this time last year when we sat in that pub having the day after we lost 5-1 to Newcastle and we just had to, like, G ourselves up to be like...
Did we do a pod after that game?
Yeah, we did. It was the finale last time and we did...
No one would have listened to it.
Well, we did half of it.
Did we do that?
Yeah, it was you two again. We did half of it on Newcastle, like, complaining, and then afterwards we were like... It's fine. We still had a good season. We were like kidding ourselves. And compared to this, it was not. It was rubbish.
Well, don't speak too soon.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. We didn't do a preview last.
So talk about last night.
Yeah,
just
what
quickly.
Did you do last night, Dan?
Won a Harry Potter pub quiz. So I just talked you through it. Four rounds, each named after a subject. Went into the final round, which was then potluck. A point and a half clear. We fucked it up. I'm not going to lie. Forgot Percy from the list of
Jesus.
Weasley brothers.
He is the worst one.
He's a shit, isn't he? Mm. And got Harry's address wrong. So it went to a tiebreaker. I stepped up to stage, smashed it, won the 50 quid. So Potter aficionados, there you go.
So last week we didn't...
Feel free to edit that out.
No, I'm keeping it in. I'm embarrassing okay. you. Last week we didn't bother to do a Leicester and a Hull preview because obviously there was a lot about White Hart Lane ending, which is happening really quickly, by the way, the whole tearing it down. A lot of photos going around which should have a content warning in it, if you ask me. Proper hole in the West End now, isn't there? You can see through it.
I mean, it's going to get worse, though, isn't it? So I'm with you, but
yeah,
it's going to get a lot worse.
But that's the worst
Eventually,
bit, isn't it?
There's going to be no stadium.
That's the worst bit, though. It's still the old girls doing that. Anyway, we didn't bother to do a preview, but we kind of should have done because we've just scored 13 goals in two games, and Harry Kane's got 7 of them. Unbelievable. We have to talk about this. So Hull, the most recent, obviously, which was yesterday, best league away win in our history. Is that Premier League or ever?
Ever.
Really?
I heard it on Match of the Day.
Surprised at that. With all those batshit crazy scores in the 50s, like 13-8 on Boxing Day and stuff.
Yeah, but a lot of them were White Hart Lane.
Yeah, I suppose. That's pretty amazing. I can't think of any other time we would have even
It's not often you go away from home and get 7, is it?
Mm.
In any era.
Not often you get 6. Oh, I like there was only 1 minute of extra injury time as well. That was a complete mercy killing, wasn't
it? What, at Leicester?
No, at Hull.
Oh, okay.
There was no way there was only a minute and the ref was just like, these guys are dead already. You know?
Yeah, well, I suppose that's fair enough. But totally different. I mean, we've said it already, but totally different end to the season than what we had last time round. Obviously, we lost to Southampton and lost to Newcastle, which Leicester and Hull are in similar positions to those. Similar to last season. So what does this, let's start with you, Dan. What does this say, do you think, about the team, about the club, about our growth, progression, etc.?
Well, I've got to say, I thought after the West Ham game, we might be limping toward the finish line again. I didn't necessarily think we were going to lose 5-1 like last season, but I definitely didn't see this coming. And I think it's so important because I really did get a sense that the end of last season was kind of hanging over the club this year. And I know it hasn't really seemed that way, but you know, a lot of the time Pochettino will be forced to kind of come back to it and address it. You know, you'll be in a press conference or post-match thing, and something will come up, and they'll say, "Well, what about the end of last season? Or, you know, was that a physical issue? Was it a mental issue?" So almost whenever the question of tiredness or whenever the question of mentality have been raised at Spurs this year, someone will mention the end of last season. Because
and every
not?
Pochettino season, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's a running theme, and I think you can't kind of underestimate the impact that could have had, you know, particularly on the start of the season. It's just a kind of hangover. But, you know, the West Ham game aside, more or less been perfect for the last 3 months.
We've won 13 out of the last 14 games, haven't we?
This is ridiculous. I mean, that's... Yeah,
no, but we bottled it.
Title winning, that's title winning form, you know, in any season, yeah. in any country. So I think there's a lot of questions that have kind of been put to bed. You know, one of them was that Pochettino's teams get tired and then fade. The other one was that you can't play Pochettino's way if you've got nothing to play for, because it requires all this pressing and kind of running off the ball, and the players won't do it if they haven't got, you know, a monetary bonus or, you know, a goal in mind. And yeah, I suppose the other one was that just this team generally has a fragile mentality and can't annihilate teams.
Right, but then,
you know, there's nothing to play for.
So then let's put that on the other side, in that there was no pressure on Leicester and Hull. Not really. The only pressure we had was...
There was no pressure on Newcastle last year.
Well, I think there was that added pressure of finishing above Arsenal, wasn't there?
That was on Tottenham. Oh,
yes.
I see.
Yeah.
I see, yeah.
So there is literally Leicester and Hull. We couldn't move up or down. We cemented second place against Man United. So we couldn't move at all. So I guess...
But, you know, all the more reason to... You know, play at kind of 50%, and but you know, regardless of the opposition, you don't put 6 and 7 past anyone in the Premier League unless you're really on it.
Yeah.
So I think it just says, yeah, it says so much about this team and what they wanted to prove and what they have proved.
Where did you guys watch the games? Because we didn't have anything riding on this last day. Obviously, Arsenal and Liverpool both did, and that's a position I don't think I've ever been in, unless we are like 14th because we've given up in February, of watching someone else sweat it out over like Champions League places and something where there's actually something riding on it. We could just sit and watch Arsenal squirm for a last day where they went and won, but it didn't matter.
It was funny, wasn't it?
It is funny.
And Aaron Ramsey celebrating like he'd won the league when he...
His first goal of the season.
Is that right?
Fucking hell.
Yeah, that's awful.
He's terrible, isn't he?
Yeah, that is awful.
It was that weird spell where he was just like Ali is now.
And he was kept brilliant getting, in the
It was like
Euro
10 games where he got like
well.
A goal and assist in every game.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, he's amazing. And then he hasn't scored since.
There was that joke, wasn't there, that every time he scored, a famous person died.
Oh, yeah, and he didn't
and then
like
he
it.
Scored loads of goals. And everyone was like, oh, he's a mass murderer or something. It was like, no, actually, this is quite, it's quite dark, lads. It's quite
and
poor
he got
form.
Asked about it and hated it.
Yeah, not yeah. a fan. Which I suppose you would be if you said something you do is killing people. I mean, one was
yeah, fair enough. You can't really sort of banter that off, can you?
No.
Oh, yeah, it's a good. Laugh, isn't it?
Well, one was yeah. Bin Laden, so he could have taken one there.
Yeah, but he's an Arsenal fan.
Exactly.
Killing
off
fans.
Their fan base.
There aren't many of them anyway, you know.
Yeah.
You know what they can get.
Well, not anymore.
For the Potter quizzes in Finsbury Park, so I was properly in Arsenal territory last night.
The World's End pub, wasn't it?
World's End pub, yeah. Good and pub. There's like a pub opposite the station that was really Guna. And I went in and I heard someone
it's
say...
The 12 pins.
Yeah, the 12 pins. And I heard someone say, I'd like to punch Harry Kane in the face.
I was on a coach back from the Emirates with Clive Allen, and we broke down outside the 12 Pins pub after we lost 5-2. Oh, and Adebayor put us 2-0 up. We lost 5-2. And the coach broke down outside the 12 Pins, and they were just rocking the coach.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Clive Allen was just stood at the front.
Was this a corporate day thing?
Yeah, yeah.
That is so unlucky. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But we don't have to worry about it. Like, they are... There was one of the Arsenal fan TV... I don't even give a fuck anymore. I'm going to speak about it. I don't care how tin pot this is. I think it's a massive achievement to finish above Arsenal, right?
Because it's the monkeys running
off,
order.
The monkeys running off order. The back. But, like, their fans afterwards were like, still going to support them, despite, you know, we're going in Europa League, but I'm still going to support them. And you just think, oh, well fucking done. Like, congratulations. Well, you've like... you know, you're not a turncoat. You know, you are going to stick by him having finished fifth.
It's the honourable thing, you know. Though.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
I was just speaking to a bloke at work today, massive gooner, and started off quite a civil conversation. And by the end of it, he was almost in tears. Honestly, he can't understand. He said he's not going to lower his standards to go and watch the Europa League.
Brilliant.
His own personal standards.
His own personal standards. He said he pays £1,500 for a season ticket.
Well, he's an idiot.
To watch world-class football. And he's not going to go and watch second-rate players.
So when was the last time he went in that case? Because they've been terrible for years.
Well, he didn't go to the Sunderland game, I know that much.
Amazing. I mean, I'd be crying if I paid
for it. Oh, fuck them. Let's talk about Spurs.
Yep, sorry. The Leicester one was quite satisfying as well, wasn't it? Because
I hate Leicester.
Well, yeah, and also...
I hate them so much.
It's great because last season has made that into a really spiky rivalry, and there's loads of heat. It's quite good-natured, but there's loads of schadenfreude as well. Like they were singing,
and they hate Harry
all this
Kane
stuff
as well.
About, you know, who came third and two was race.
But what I liked,
it's happened
about,
again. We're waiting for you, and Spurs fans are singing loads of stuff about like Champions League never again. It was one of the best atmospheres I've been.
What
at
I liked
season.
About it though is that they have always got that over us, no matter what. They have always always won the league ahead of us, right? But they started off singing that, and then by like the third or fourth goal, nothing.
Yeah,
like because not being funny, if that was us, you'd still sing it. You think, I don't give a shit. If you're Leicester and you've won the league the season before, I don't give a shit. You just keep singing. But it was like we were pummeling them.
They could
only be identified by dental records in the end. And it was just like they didn't know what... I don't think they knew what to do with it. And when Kane got two in the last couple of minutes and properly shut them up, it was glorious.
I reckon it was the fourth goal. I remember after the third, as soon as the second and third goal went in, to their massive credit, they started singing straight away. It was like kind of a continental derby or like a game in Argentina where, you know, you get scored against and you just sing louder. They actually did that, but you're right, the stuffing was knocked out of them by about goal four.
Yeah.
And then Kane put in two more. But I love that it's not exactly beneficial to Spurs having another team in the league that really wants to beat us. But I quite like that that's a thing now.
It's the trappings of where we are, though, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It shows, you know,
you
shows
know, when United were top dogs, you know, everyone wanted to beat United. And I know we're not the top dogs, but we're pretty bloody good, actually.
Yeah. I mean, the whole result as well is, it's almost like we beat Leicester 6-1. It's like the norm to go up to Haaland, smash them 7-1. You know, it's just been that sort of season where we've had... It's like, we'll come on to it, but there's little tiny down points that really have cost us. But like, 6-1 and 7-1, two away games in a row in any season is unbelievable.
And some of the goals as well.
Exactly.
I mean, we didn't really have to tear them apart because we're given so much space in both games, really, around the edge of their box. But the finishing...
Our second goal was my favourite, with that ball by Dyer into Trippier.
It's done that a lot, haven't they?
Yeah.
It's almost like a trademark.
Just the volley cross, and it was just, what a ball.
The little dinked passes we're doing at the
outside
moment.
Of the
Ali's liking those as well, isn't he? Where he just kind of lofts it.
The scoop.
Yeah.
Leicester was a great goal as
Something
well.
You mentioned on Twitter yesterday, Dan, about Dyer and Wanyama, and you're seeing Wanyama sort of unleashed a little bit.
Mm.
I think one of the themes of earlier in the season, particularly when Dembele was suspended for the first few games, was how like we looked too defensive and we've got two similar players in Dyer and Wanyama. But so it's kind of maybe something in there for next season if Dembele isn't going to be able to play as many games as we hope he can, because he has got fitness concerns. I think he's going for surgery in the summer, is that right?
Yeah, I think he's had an operation this week.
Can we remain positive? Winks will be back hopefully for the start of the season as well.
Yeah,
so,
I think it's one of the things I was going to come on to. How did Tottenham get better from this season? And maybe one of the things I've seen in the last kind of five games, really, since Dembele's not started, more or less since second's been wrapped up, and I think Dembele's been struggling with this most of the year, and Poch has sort of said, well, as soon as the title was off, you know, you can have a break. It was Wanyama just being kind of released from defensive responsibilities a bit, and he's looked much better than I thought he would be. I mean, obviously scored against Hull.
He's got five.
Got an
season.
Assist against Leicester, scored against Man U. And I appreciate, you know, they were kind of headers and from set pieces, but also just the Man U game when he was playing on the counter and breaking forward, there were a couple of really good passes, like the outside of his boot.
Same as against Arsenal. So, and he's really, at the start of the season, his passing was probably the thing that you thought was his weak point. He seems so much more polished in that area now. Mm. It kind of like, he's a better passer than Dembele is now.
Dyer's passing is really underrated as well, I think. Yeah. Mm. He's one of the best crossers of the ball in the club as well.
When you saw the two of Dembele and Wanyama at the start of the season, like you said, they were defensive, but they seemed also not to kind of work well together either. They're fine defensively, but they didn't seem to kind of string passes together. Mm. They were really static and slow whenever it went through them. And now it's like Wanyama taking on a bit of the Dembele role. He's running so much more with the ball and effectively as well.
Yeah, he's capable.
I think next season, if we're well stocked for like those two centre midfielders, especially with Winks. Winks has been a revelation, I think. I think he's going to be a brilliant, brilliant footballer for Spurs. With him, Dembele, Dyer and Wanyama, I think we're well equipped for next season.
Doesn't feel like a priority, put it that way. No. It's coaching and finding players that you're able to, even in the later stages of their career or mid of their career as Wanyama is, just to be able to coach someone into doing something a bit different or something like that is what Pochettino's built for, isn't it?
I think maybe we might be starting to see the end of Dembele as well.
Yeah.
I think he's 30 now, coming on 30. Mm. And
he's one of the oldest, isn't he? Him and Jan. Mm.
And Poch has changed his centre midfield pairing every season. Dembele seems to be the one, sadly, that might miss out.
Yeah, but maybe we'll see.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Kane, because I don't think we've spoken about Kane enough on this podcast over this season.
All things considered. We've spoken about Kane folklore, haven't we?
You can never
speak about Kane enough.
I guess that's it, yeah. I think particularly ending this season as Golden Boot winner and second season in a row. Do you want some stats? Would you like some Kane?
Hit me with some stats, brother.
Can we have some stats, please, Tom?
Yes, you can. Harry Kane's goal rate of 0.97 per game, 29 goals in 30 games, is the best of any Golden Boot winner in Premier League history.
How do you like that?
I like it.
You do like it. How do you like them apples? Ollie, before we go on to the rest, I probably won't do the rest, but what was your stat yesterday that you put on Twitter that pissed off United fans?
Even if you took away penalties, Harry Kane would still be top goal scorer in the league.
How do you like them apples? How many penalties did he get?
Well, if you took away everyone's penalties. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's still good, yeah. Still happy enough.
Yeah, he'd be second.
That was the only kind of line of his detractors.
Scores against
a few months ago is that he'd got a lot of penalties.
Mm. Five. So he'd have ended with 24 goals, which is a terrible return, really, for a player that's played 30 games, I imagine.
He is one of just five players to score 20-plus goals in three consecutive seasons. He got 21 in his first season, 25 last season, 29 this season. He's on 75, I think, overall in the league.
No, he's on 75 after Leicester. He's on 78 now.
Okay.
Come on, Tom.
Woo. Come on, mate.
Sorry, I know you're good at quizzes now. 78, so he's 22. If he gets... If he gets 22, which is well within reason if he stays fit, he's got 100 league goals in three and a half years, isn't he?
It's insane. You just said it. He's getting better every year. It's 21, 25, 29. He'll get
32, I reckon.
You're going for 32. I'll go for
34.
I mean, this is the thing. If he stays fit, but he was out, he missed, was it 10 games overall that he missed? No, 8. It must be only 8. Of course. Sorry. Again, it's just... You do run out of things to say almost, and maybe that's why we don't gush about him as much as we should. And also, he's not like how Bale was in.
He's overtaken for me. He has now overtaken Gareth Bale and Paul Gascoigne as my favourite ever Spurs players.
Praise indeed, Jim.
Yeah,
I mean,
obviously, Ledley King's like in a different column. He's like,
but that's the level he's at now, isn't it?
He's like Ledley levels of love.
Yeah, it's not just loving as a fan, it is. He's got everything to back it up, and there's nothing really.
To go back to stats, look at the company he's keeping. I think of five players to score 20 goals or more in three consecutive seasons, it's Aguero, Van Nistelrooy, Henry, and Shearer. They're the other ones. Mm. And the five players to win back-to-back Golden Boots outright is Van Nistelrooy, Henry, and Shearer. And I think of the four players in the top five leagues in Europe that have scored more than him, it's like Messi,
yeah,
Ronaldo.
Of those other strikers, random, who do you think he's most similar to?
Shearer.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, but I mean, it's time to start. I mean, thinking of Kane in that bracket.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, he's still playing.
Van Nistelrooy is a proper tapping merchant.
Yeah, he's still playing, so it's difficult. And so is Aguero. So it's kind of difficult to start making those comparisons. But he is doing it every season. There's absolutely no reason to doubt him. And the only reason sort of non-Spurs fans do is because he is slightly unglamorous. He's English and he looks a bit 1950s. And he's not marketable, which is the thing which famously pissed people off when I said that. But it's true, he's not marketable at all, not compared to Ali.
Not in
but
the same just way. Yeah.
Incredible.
Since Kane's been so good, it's the only reason I've really had any reason to look at Alan Shearer. I didn't realise how fucking good he was. Like how many goals he scored.
So good.
Like ridiculous in a crap Newcastle team.
He's what, 60 ahead of the next highest goal
scorer.
Yeah,
something like that. It's mental.
I mean, that's two seasons worth.
And he had two cruciates as well.
Yeah. Two seasons worth of unbelievable goal scoring season. Like two seasons worth of more goals than Kane has managed in a season.
But Kane, I mean, he's just getting better and better. I mean, at the end of last year, I think it would be easy. I think I remember having a discussion on this podcast saying, well, you know, has Kane peaked? Is it? You know, he can't surely be better than this because he was just so consistently good every week. He's already scoring a different type of goals.
All his goals are left-footed on.
He's making it look easy. Like the first one against Hull, you know, he gets on the edge of the box and sort of spanks it under Marshall from like what 22, 23 yards. With his wrong foot.
They're weird because they weren't even in the corner. Like a lot of
he just hits it past player.
Did it against Leicester?
It's two in the last minute. Weren't even in the corner. They just completely wrong footed Schmeichel.
He's got that in him though.
It's like so little backlift, almost like Defoe.
What he's so good at, he's using
so much better than Defoe.
Oh no, yeah. But I just mean same like.
But they look easy. My point.
Yeah,
Schmeichel didn't even move.
It's clever. It's intelligent because he's not just hitting it. He's using defenders as a shield. Do you remember those goals he scored against Chelsea in the 5-3, where he delayed and then he shot through Terry's legs. And he does that so much. I think he did it against Leicester. He did it against Hull for his first
similar
goal.
Similar to Ali's goal against
Hull. Yeah, he delayed, but he also hits it quite early. Like the one against Hull, I don't think anyone's expecting him to hit it then.
Mm.
He seems, you know, you'd expect another touch. Then try and get a shot away. He's taking it quite early. You're right, he's using the defenders as a shield. Maybe he's delaying his next touch, it appears. But I don't think he's delaying his shot. I think he's taking his shot quite early, and that's what's catching keepers out. They're not allowed to set, and that's why they're just going mid-goal.
Yeah,
when he's just hitting it hard and low.
Do you remember that one against West? I'm just sort of doing a Harry Kane special here, but do you remember that one against West Brom a couple of years ago in his first season, where he shot past Foster and it curled into the middle of the goal, and Foster literally just didn't even put a hand out because it was past him before it even.
It's similar to like
Bale's
away at Swansea that year. That
I know what you mean. And I think he's hit Bale levels now in that you expect so much of him.
He's better than Bale.
Yeah, I think all round probably.
He's better than Bale. Maybe not all round, but he's a better goal scorer than Bale was for us.
Hmm.
Yeah, statistically. And
he's going to eclipse Rooney's record of goal scoring.
Fuck,
he's already got as many hat tricks as Rooney.
Yeah,
and Rooney's played what, like 560 games,
which is a bit worrying because Rooney's on like $300,000 a week, and someone must. And he's
well,
not
yeah,
really
I think we'll have to come on to that.
Rooney started 5 years before Kane as well,
at least
more than
Rooney
that.
Was 16. Kane was
that's what you mean.
Yeah, it just feels like can we stick him up there with Lewandowski and Benzema? We were talking about how there was
undoubtedly
there was not a huge amount of actual out and out strikers in Europe, but Kane's top three, maybe,
the level below Messi and Ronaldo, but everyone is. I'd rather Kane than Zlatan.
Zlatan's missed a hell of a lot of chances this year.
Kane now is working towards peak level Zlatan in my eyes.
So all the names that we put out there, Lewandowski, he's at Bayern, Benzema's at Real Madrid, Higuain's at
Juventus.
Cavani's at Napoli, is that right?
No.
PSG, sorry. Aubameyang's obviously at Dortmund.
You got one right. Well done.
You know, we're looking, yeah.
I look forward to this quiz, Dan.
One, two. That's five teams that are all at five players for teams that are at the top table, and we're a newcomer to that table. Let's say, how worried do you think we need to be about Kane? We've spoken a lot about Ali. We've spoken a lot about Toby. Spoken a lot about Walker, obviously, with all the rumours going around in the last few weeks. Nothing's really been said about Kane.
Kane's not going anywhere.
No.
I agree, but how worried should we be that there might be the odd club out there that just go, you know what, we can't ignore this anymore. And if we go hard for him, who knows? Like, you know, 60,
Kane
will
score the first goal at the new White Hart Lane.
For who?
Fuck off.
He would be a world record signing. He would smash the £100 million record. You'd have to go ridiculous money.
That's the Daniel Levy tax.
To even consider, I think if he was at any club, Daniel Levy or not, he's in that bracket.
But the thing is, I don't think...
How much do you think Lewandowski would be? You know, he's going to cost silly money. You know, you're that's the sort of money you're going to have to...
You know, I don't think he would be as good at any club. I'm not sure.
It's like the Shearer Newcastle thing. It's a perfect fit.
Yeah, I'm not sure I kind of believe it, but Pochettino's got this phrase called this phrase in Spanish of energía universal.
It says quite a lot. Yeah, that one.
It's, universal energy. And he said it in reference to Kane.
Right, okay.
Is this the Alan Partridge pod?
No, so he's used it in reference to Kane.
He said that he thinks that the sort of Kane is a perfect fit for Tottenham, and there's this kind of attachment, and I sort of buy into it.
Yeah,
but, you know, it's like the, you know, we saw the Terry scenes that I really don't want to mention at the weekend. Yeah, but you know, there was obviously
the arrogance of the man.
I don't want to go into it because I will rant. But there was an affiliation between player and club there. And I do think Kane, he's the only one, really. I mean, maybe Winks could have it. But I do think he's the only one where emotion is likely to play a part. I tend to think footballers, you know, they're not like fans. And that's the biggest mistake fans make, is thinking that footballers are like them. Kane may be more like a fan than the average footballer.
And also, you've said it there about marketability. It feels like half of a signing that's over sort of 80 million these days or 60 million these days, you're paying for not just the player. You're paying for someone that is a brand. And that's, you know, every other player that's gone for that sort of crazy money, is you're buying more than a footballer. I'm just saying that Kane doesn't really necessarily have that.
Kane does have a brand, and it's Tottenham. You know, he is, he's kind of an embodiment of that. So, yeah.
He brought out those toys, didn't he?
Sorry?
Where he brought out some toys.
What do you mean?
It's like bringing a Kane, toys again. Kane, like, keep you up thing.
What's in your missus' bedside cabinet?
Jim, this is news to me. Is this a dream?
No, fuck it. I'm Googling.
I remember that. Now I remember what he's talking about. It was a bit of a flop.
Harry.
Which is why Jim's missus bought them.
Oh, behave.
Doesn't make sense.
That's a shame, Dan.
Sorry.
She's actually listening.
Why have we got to do this? Anything more on Kane? We had to bring it up. I mean, two golden boots in a row for someone who came from absolutely nowhere. He's just our superstar, isn't he?
And also, as a sort of final point, do you feel like he's actually been at his best for the whole of this season?
No.
Because I don't think he has.
No.
Well, the last three seasons, he hasn't started scoring until September, or end of September.
Well, yeah, I think he had a slow start, got one goal, got injured for 8 weeks, came back, took a little bit of time to get up to speed, then admittedly phenomenal for, what, a couple
the
of
Harry
months.
Kane volley blaster, the Harry Kane goal blaster indoor training goal, and the Harry Kane goal blaster bedroom target.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one.
Not helping yourself, are you?
Honestly.
Yeah. Sorry, you were
but
saying.
I think, no, I mean, yeah, that's it, really. And then I think he had another injury, and again, it was like a couple of games before it was really Kane again. And I can think of a lot of chances this year.
He gets a break
that
this
he's missed.
Summer.
This is it.
He hasn't had a break for the last 3 seasons. He's had the 121s, didn't he? And then he had England, where, you know, he was widely derided for
good corners,
his corners, and so on.
Do you remember when he first got injured, and we were like, and a few people were like, "This isn't good." Don't get me wrong, but it might be a slight blessing in disguise. Like, if Kane was never getting a rest unless he got injured. And he had two spells this year where he was out for 8 games overall in the league, and he's still come out with 29 goals. I'm sorry, but there's method in that. There's something in that, in the fact that he came back.
It cost us a league.
Well, arguably, but then if he hadn't have been rested, who knows that by April he could have been completely done for. Could have ended on 24.
Kane's a type of player, and this week's been the perfect example, that he likes playing lots of games, and he gets in rhythm, and then he's just unstoppable. But yeah, and I think those injuries disrupt his rhythm, and he did take a few games at the start of each to come back.
All of his hat tricks have been since the turn of the year, haven't they?
Yeah.
When he's been playing a lot of games.
Yeah, I think it's fair enough. I mean, we'll never know, will we? So let's move on to that, because we should preview the entire
the rest of the
league.
Team.
Yeah, all the other bastards. but we finished the season as the second best runners up in Premier League history. Who's the best? Is it Liverpool?
No, United. When the Aguero goal, they were both on 89 right. points.
Oh God,
Aguero!
That's got to be gutting. But
you've won about 26 titles. Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah, but
it was funny watching Fergie on the pitch.
Yeah,
Sunderland fans go up cheering, and United players turn around and walk in.
That was a good moment.
Unlucky.
We scored 86 goals, most in the league, conceded 26 goals, the least in the league. We hit, 86 points in the end?
Yes.
Yeah.
We've smashed our Premier League points record, to pieces.
We don't have to talk about AVB anymore.
Yeah, I think that's...
Goal difference...
Plus 60.
Of the last two seasons, it's plus 91, and I think the nearest team... is City on 70.
So, I mean, is it absurd that we've not won a
title? Does it feel like for the second season running, Spurs are the best team, or is it just because we all kind of follow Spurs more closely than anyone?
No, we are the best team.
It feels like, once again, Tottenham were...
If we didn't have injuries, we would have won the league.
I think that's the problem, isn't it? Yeah. You're the best 11, but you can't keep your 11 fit all season when you're
look at the replacements as well. Toby went out, Vimmer came in, Kane went out, Janssen came in.
Tonga was out for a bit.
Yeah, it was. As well as arguably Davis has done, he's not.
Dembele was banned for the first lot of games.
Exactly. So there's been a lot of loads of things we can point to that you can say if it wasn't for that, we would have. But, they did happen. So we've got to look at how do we plug that? How do we plug that gap if it was to happen next season? How are we going to get through next season to try and challenge again?
It's the season that Eric Lamella finally arrives next season. I've decided. I thought it was going to be this year, but I was wrong, and it's going to be next year.
Dan put him down as player of the season.
I did. I looked over those predictions today, actually.
Yeah.
I got Kane as top scorer.
Okay.
Fair wow.
Thank you.
Who would have seen that?
Well, surprisingly few people, actually, on the ESPN roster. I had Tottenham as champions.
Close.
That's close, yeah. Yeah, I mean...
And they laughed.
And then, Lamella, player of the year. But very few... I had Chelsea in fourth, I think. Very few people had Chelsea in even the top four. It's amazing to look back.
Yeah.
I think that's mad.
You say it now, but, I mean, think of August.
Well,
new manager.
I thought they were going to win it.
Did you?
Yes.
I actually said, I think at the start of the season, that because you said, I see no reason why we won't challenge again. This may have been the last pod of last season. And I was really sceptical. I wasn't on board. I didn't think that we were good, but I just thought maybe there's an element of maybe last season being the anomaly.
You're doubting Thomas.
Well, I am literally doubting Thomas, yeah. But I thought we looked like a top four team, maybe not a championship challenging team. But we've done it for the second season in a row, and I have to... I have to say, I didn't see it coming, but you did. So let's say...
I'm a visionary.
You're not a visionary.
All right.
Sorry. I want to shut that down immediately. But even with Wembley and all of that, I mean, are we? How do we get better? How do we take that last step? Like, what's left for this team?
By Zaha, by Barkley, and then I think we'll win the league.
You said that really robotically, like you've been programmed to believe that that's what's going to do it.
Potch has hypnotised you.
Yeah.
Or someone fast who is not Moussa Sissoko.
Is he fast?
That's two different things.
Just to say that Moussa Sissoko was on the pitch for both of our largest wins of the season. So I'm just throwing it out there, maybe.
He was actually instrumental in the
first 10 minutes at Hull. I've never seen anyone look so confused.
Leicester.
Sorry, at Leicester.
It's a ploy, though, isn't it?
He's playing right wing back. He was like,
he's drawing them in.
Going on?
He's drawing them in. He's thinking, he's putting them in a zone of comfort.
He did brilliantly for one, I think it was Son's goal.
Yeah, I mean, he did play some absolutely god-awful passes straight out of play.
At Hull, obviously, the away fans sit right in the corner, and Sissoko went on one run, he fell over, and when he got back up and picked the ball up, it was arguably a louder cheer than we got for the seventh goal. Like, it was, the fans were just absolutely amazed that he managed to get back control of the ball. It was a nice moment, actually. It was like a competition winner. Like that old kind of joke about, oh, he's won a competition to play for us.
Like Ali Dyer.
Yeah, it's not far off, really, is it? I mean, it's worrying. But is it going to be a simple case of that improving the bench, Dan? Or is it going to be... Because we had this conversation the other day and you said, well, improve the first team and then the first team kind of get relegated... Not relegated to the bench, but, you know, they strengthen the bench thereafter. But I disagree with that. I don't think you can improve our first 11.
But, I mean, Wanyama's a good example, isn't it? At the end of last season, you probably said, oh, the only position that 11 we can improve is maybe Lamella. There's one spot up for grabs. But then Wanyama came in and, you know, he's been one of the many contenders for Player of the Year. So I think you've got to think in the same way. You know, are there players that Spurs can sign? Are there players that Spurs can get in the current wage structure who will improve the first 11? And if so, that's what you want. And then someone like Wanyama, for instance, might end up dropping to the bench, or even someone, you know, like Son, as well as he's done. You know, it's so hard to predict, as Ollie said. I think the last two seasons, you finish the year thinking, oh, what a great centre midfield partnership, and Potts just completely ripped it up and put a new one in, and you've ended the year thinking, oh, what an even better centre midfield partnership. That's kind of what he does. And I think, yeah, Spurs need a better squad. There's no doubt about it. And
there were times where we've looked quite threadbare.
Yeah.
Once a few injuries, not necessarily to key players, but to a few squad players here. You look at the bench and you're thinking, Jesus, you know.
At key times as well.
And Kudu is our only attacking
option.
Yeah,
I mean, it's Sissoko and Kudu and Janssen. He's got £60 million, very badly spent in the summer. You like to think that this year, with the whole revamping of the recruitment department that Spurs are briefing about, then they're going to do better than last year.
What's your favourite moment of the season? Let's do a poll of this, Jim.
The 5 minutes or 3 minutes against Arsenal at home. Ali scored, and then we got a penalty and scored again, and celebrating that.
That was good fun.
Yeah, it was lots of fun. It was my last ever time at White Hart Lane, and walking out of the stadium at the end.
Here's a question, Jim, because we brought this up last week after United.
Absolutely game. Fucking regretted it.
Yeah, me too. Okay, that's it. All right, that's enough. That's all.
Yeah,
I
and it's know. And it's both of your fault because I was listening to the pod, and it was you who made me decide, and I fucking hate you.
Okay, that's fine. I'll take that. Ollie, moment of the season.
West Ham final minutes when Son kind of turned the game for us after being one of the most abject substitute performances I've ever seen. He then won a penalty, well, set up the equaliser and then won the penalty.
And that's a great
shout. Just to see West Ham go from it's happening again to us then being it's happening again was just bloody great.
It was incredible. Dan?
The Legends Parade after Man U. For me, and then followed by the whole kind of after-match experience of the United game, the pitch invasion, the ceremony, the fucking rainbow. the whole thing.
Your picture is
yeah, that was folklore, so lucky.
It's folklore now, though, isn't it?
But yeah. I put it on my Facebook, and one of my friends said, oh, is this the picture that that random press guy got? When
random press guy.
Does he not know who I am?
When all the actual professional photographers missed it.
Okay, well, I'll take
that's
that.
My man Dan Killy P.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, we've nearly lasted three quarters of the pod with that.
We all love Dan Killy P.
Yeah, that, it was just the whole experience. It was just pure magic.
Yeah,
yeah, it did sound amazing. We did it last week.
I think mine
was... Your video was incredible as well, of the glory Tottenham Hotspur.
That was the only sort of downside from that whole experience for me is I was kind of on social for work. So I did end up kind of viewing a lot of it just through my phone. But then I kind of looked back and I was just like, well, it's even better than I remembered being there.
Like, yeah, you're still there.
Tear to mine.
Yeah, you're still very, very pretty.
Who cried?
No.
Not even a little tear?
Nearly.
I welled up when Ginola came out.
You know, I didn't because I was working. I've watched it back since and felt much more emotional.
And when Ledley came out, I was emotional.
I got a lump in the throat with Ledley, but I held it together.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
Lump in the throat with Ledley, a lump in the pants with Ginola.
Nice. Very guilty. Nice. Sorry, just to bring us back to... it's been a very sexual podcast, hasn't it?
Wait till after. It's going to be amazing.
Mine might be Swansea away. Those last couple of minutes where we weren't good, but we were kind of like battering down the door, and we would have, a couple of seasons ago, we would have lost that 1-0. And then to get the equaliser, 84 or something like that? And then go and get two more. But Sonny's winner.
Yeah, I'm sure something like that.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was like 89, 92, 97, I think.
Yeah. Right, okay. Yeah, that was so much fun. And it's just pure Tottenham to take you from rock bottom to like top of the world. It was just perfect, really. Very nice. What was the best performance of the season, do you think?
Tom just... sorry.
What?
Tom drank my last can, so I can't give you another one.
This is my last one.
I'll buy you all around afterwards.
Yeah. I'm not going to edit this out, so that's staying in.
Okay. It's not contractually binding. Might not get around.
Oh, people are so going to stop listening to this. What was the best performance of the season?
Best performance?
Yeah. So we've had nice moments, but I think performance, flat out.
Chelsea at home, I think. Just did everything that we needed to do. And that like rivals the Arsenal game for me for moment of the season because they didn't have a sniff really. They had one chance, I think, and we just killed them. And that's what we do now. We suffocate teams. We're so good. We're so fucking good. And even the best teams can't live with us on our day.
Mm.
And Chelsea and Arsenal just were nothing at the lane. Absolutely nothing.
Man City. I mean that might be up there for me.
Man United, nothing.
I mean, the problem with the City game is, in hindsight, you know, they weren't nearly as good as...
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we did.
The City game is also 2-0, yeah.
2-0. United was 2-0.
2-1.
Bollocks. I'm quitting. Sorry.
No, in hindsight, you know, the City haven't had as good a season as Chelsea, so that result doesn't seem as good now. But if you remember at the time, they had won every single match under Guardiola.
Mm.
Spurs didn't have Kane. They didn't have Dembele, and at that time in September or very early October, I just don't think we expected
that level of performance. Sissoko played,
yeah, he did,
and but as Jim says, just suffocated.
It was a real pressing game.
It didn't give them a sniff.
We weren't actually that great with the ball.
It was a tactical masterclass, wasn't it? Like you could see from the start exactly what Spurs were trying to do. City knew what Spurs were trying to do. Spurs knew what they were trying to do, but City were completely powerless to prevent it.
We are so in City's heads. We are so in their heads. Like, it's so beautiful because there's a little rivalry there that it doesn't really come to the surface, but we've remained.
It was always because we were. It was us and them for that fourth place when
we've remained competitive.
And
with
Villa
them.
Randomly
and Everton. We have remained competitive with City since all that money's come in. They might have spanked us a couple of times in the AVB and Sherwood years, but we are still there, and we have so got in their heads the last couple of years.
Especially 2-0 up, they let it slip, didn't they?
Totally bottled.
And we were crap that day as well. We were so bad.
The only two games where we've been really, really crap. Both games against Liverpool, they seem to just... We don't seem to do well against
Klopp.
They're
in our heads, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And City away, where we were really poor, but somehow... Yeah, Old Trafford was
horrible,
wasn't it? I didn't actually see that game, so...
I mean, should we... Yeah, there seems to be just two periods of the season where the title was lost, and it was the one that Potch has identified, which was... October, November.
Just couldn't score a goal, could we?
Yeah, it was.
I remember we were texting each other saying we just need a goal from open play.
Yeah.
And it was like the old classic, where's the next goal coming from? you couldn't really say because Kane wasn't in the team, Ali wasn't scoring, Eriksen wasn't scoring, Son wasn't scoring. It's like, shit, this is bleak.
Mm. It's three results, really, and I've figured them out.
Go on.
So it was Sunderland away,
yep.
Bournemouth away, and Leicester at home. Those are all games that you...
Bournemouth away?
Yeah.
Oh, nil-nil. Yeah.
All games that we'd expect to win. You know, we just smashed Leicester. Showing our goal from, I mean, they were shit, but, you know, we smashed them. Bournemouth, we won that fixture 5-1 season before.
So that would have given us an extra 6
Sunderland,
points.
Sunderland, we... And it's usually quite tight at Sunderland, but we usually just get over the line.
I mean,
there.
I don't care.
And Danny Rose...
You know, what anyone says, we should have... Spank Sunderland.
Yeah, everyone else
absolutely
bloody did.
Fucking terrible.
Yeah.
So those are the fixtures that I look back on.
That's
not
fair,
the West Ham game because you know they really wanted
it. It's
that
cup final.
Yeah.
And
I
it's
think
a shit
fair.
Stadium, by the way.
Is it? What's
it's,
it like?
It's the worst stadium I've ever been.
Tell
to
me about it.
You're about 2 years away from the pitch.
I think it's fair to say that actually,
it's like a cricket
Spurs fans got a good, you know, as in they got a good experience at the London Stadium. Like, because everyone says, you know, the atmosphere is terrible. Actually, that was West Ham's cup final, so West Ham were kind of up for it. And actually, I thought the atmosphere, the press box was about
when
2 miles
actually
away.
Reached
I thought the atmosphere was actually fine.
Like, the lower tiers all scaffolded.
Well, the away fans are split into two segments.
What?
Because there's like this huge kind of dividing canvas, this tarpaulin with some sort of branding on it that's about 20 feet long. And I'm not joking, you had two different segments of fans singing different songs.
Mm.
That's how far apart the away fans were. It's just crap.
Like, it should allay some concerns for our fans as well, because we are not moving to a stadium like that. Like that, that's something to take away from it, I think. Surprise of the season? Oh, sorry, did we finish performance of the season? Mine was going to be Arsenal. I think there was a lot of pressure on that, and I just think we choked it and did well. Anyone
I'd
else?
I'd go say Chelsea, I'd agree with Jim. Nice professional game.
Yeah, I'll go City just because of the kind of the context and the time. But there's so many. Swansea at home. I said it a couple of weeks ago on the pod. I'll say it again. Spurs kind of made Premier League football look really, really easy this year, which was weird because the thing you hear over and over again, the Premier League, and I'm sure it's true, is that you know, even if you're playing a crap team, there are a lot of poor technical teams in the Premier League. There aren't a lot of good players. You always get a physical game. You always get a tough game. You always get a team that's pretty well organised, but Spurs routinely, I mean, it's one of the questions of the quiz, so I won't tell you the answer, but the amount of times...
No, can I just make reference to this? Dan's made a quiz.
But I haven't really made a quiz.
Listeners, that he's going to bring up later. He's apparently got, quote, about 10 questions that he's going to do for an
in my head. 10 questions in my head.
Yeah. So look forward to that. So if you've not turned off already...
is there a name for this feature?
Dan's Big Fat Quiz of the Season.
Killy Pizzle Quizzle.
Killy Pizzle's Quizzle.
Yeah, that'll do.
That'll do.
Some good quiz names last night.
Last
Never
no.
Gonna Give You Up, Never Gonna Let You Down.
God's sake.
How handsome did Neville Longbottom get, by the way?
No.
Let's not do this. But yeah,
you're
not
doing this. Utterly ridiculous. You're never coming back.
That's a lie.
Surprise of the season. Anything in there?
Harry Winks.
Yeah, me was mine
as
well.
So good.
I can't remember who it was, did an article on Winks earlier in the season. It was a journalist for, is it Jack Pittbrook, maybe, who did an interview.
Yeah, he's big on
Winks. He said, like,
him and Dave Hyten interview Winks.
Yeah, he said so he came back like really strong, like, looks like.
They both did that, yeah.
Yeah, which was an interesting one. And this was back in maybe October, I think, maybe just before the West Ham game when he started.
It was after that.
Was it?
It was, yeah, it was around about February they did that.
I'm pretty sure Winks is going to become my favourite
player.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. Because he had his kind of breakthrough game in the West Ham game, which
West
game,
Ham was his first start. Yeah.
That was,
was his debut.
Was that October?
Yeah, that was eight. That was the first start of the season.
Okay, maybe it was around Christmas then. But it was,
okay, you still didn't really know about Winks. He heard a lot of good things. Heard he was quite tidy, but seeing him against, saw him against like Aston Villa at home in the FA Cup and stuff, and he got properly stuck in.
Yeah,
and he's not big.
Day, yeah.
He's He's kind of broad, but he's quite slight, and you look like you could sort of bully him off.
You thought like he was going to be Tom Carroll Mark II,
yeah.
But he's so much better.
It's a bit
so
unfair to say that, but you do think...
Tom Carroll's actually been pretty decent.
Yeah, he has been decent.
But not Harry Winks.
Winks is going to be... I think he's going to be top top class.
He looks physically ready to do it. And it's such a shame he got injured.
He is marketable. Because he's a handsome young man. Bloody
Someone described him as a Victorian chimney sweep. Yeah, which I quite like.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But he was my surprise of the season. Jim is the same for you?
I hadn't actually thought of this one, but okay, yeah, so I'll agree with that.
I think maybe Son.
Ooh, oh yeah, shout. Son's great a good shout.
Yeah, like or even Wanyama. I'll be really quick on both. But Wanyama, when I watched him at Southampton, I thought he was too indisciplined. He got lots of red cards, and he wasn't very good at passing. And as I already said, he's actually decent on the ball and looks like he could be good attacking threat next year. Mm-hmm. And his discipline's been absolutely first class. He, as we've said on this pod before, he seems to thrive on being booked early and then just holding it together. I think there's only one time it was at Palace when Poch had to sub him. Whereas I think, you know, with someone like Lamella, who used to get early bookings a lot, Poch has had to sub him a lot around 60 minutes. He has never had to do that with Yama apart from Palace. And then Son, he's just such a bizarre player because he cannot score one-on-ones,
isn't he?
And he's just, but he's got 20 goals.
He's got some 21 goals. Belters as well.
Yeah, so like, many good goals. Such a useful player. And I didn't really see that coming. I thought maybe his Spurs career might kind of peter out in this kind of Chadley-esque way. But
the thing
really
with Son is
miles. I mean,
yeah,
he's
no,
miles
he
better than Chadley, that. But the thing is, he misses some really. He scores some really vital goals, but he misses some really big chances. Like in the first few, minutes of our Champions League, Monaco, he missed a one-on-one, and if that had gone in, I think our Champions League campaigns are completely different. Kettle of fish.
But they didn't show a match of the day last night because they just showed our goals because that's all there was time for. But Son missed a bloody ton of chances yesterday, if I remember rightly.
He did against Leicester as well.
Yeah.
He turns into Zakora in the cup final at one-on-ones. Do you remember Zakora going through against Chelsea in the cup final in 2008? And he goes through, and the whole time you're going, nope, this ain't happening. Like, not in a month.
The last person
I cut before Zakora signed for us, I remember him, I think he'd signed, and he'd hit the bar from like an absolute cracking shot. I thought, goal scorer in there.
Yeah. In a similar vein, at Stefan Freund's debut, he had a crack from about 30 yards that went just wide. I thought, oh, he's going to be a goal threat.
Yeah. I think that's a great shout, though. Son is definitely a... And I think we should mention, we've ended the season, what, four players over 20 goals? Is that right?
Three.
Ericsson got...
No, Ericsson...
Four players involved in 20 goals.
No. Oh, yeah. You're right.
That's ridiculous, though.
Yeah. I mean, the only team with three players scored 20 goals.
In the days of, like, Robbie Keane. Mm. I mean, how many times did he get over 20 goals?
I don't think he ever did.
I'd hazard it won't be many of at all. Same with Defoe. Maybe once.
I mean, even when we had Berbatov, Keane, Bent and Defoe in that ridiculous period, you know, we'd never expect this.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the case of spreading it out properly as well, isn't it? Of, you know, Eriksen and Ali aren't strikers as such.
We're just fucking good.
We are, yeah. It's just crazy that Kane's got 29 goals and isn't the standout star in the team.
I think we should interrupt the love fest, though, and think about how we're going to keep this team together, which I didn't put in the running order.
I think that's fair enough. We've already seen it with Walker. Apparently, he looks as if all but...
I think the only person that's going to go is possibly Walker and some tripe from the bench. I don't really think... I'm not particularly worried about losing people this summer.
I agree with you, but...
Walker, Wimmer and probably...
Sissoko.
I don't think Sissoko will go, actually.
I think Janssen will go.
Really?
No, I think Janssen will stay.
I think Georges Kevin will go.
Oh, yeah, fuck him off.
He's been an absolute toilet.
What is the point of him?
He's terrible.
Yeah,
I don't know what he does.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's for. What are you for?
It was a gamble, I think.
Paul Mitchell.
Well, Paul Mitchell.
I think
you can never trust the Mitchell brothers.
I think it's going to be hard. I think it's going to be harder than we all think. Because Spurs' wage was about 100 million quid, according to the Times did a thing last week on it, and all the other top five have wage bills of either about 200 million quid. Or more, so they're all paying double or more. Mm. Tottenham, and you know we've said it a few times, but every single player in our squad could earn double, and that can't go on indefinitely. And I think it'll be a real test for Levy. You know, is he prepared to to kind of change, alter the wage structure of the entire club in order to keep this team together, or is he not? And I think it will.
I think
come
he's
going to
have
that.
To. He's going to have to at least.
But, I mean, I don't. I don't think he is going to have to. I don't think his aim is ever to do that. His aim is to get us into this new stadium, hopefully with a bloody good team together, and then find a buyer. And then hopefully that buyer will
sell. I honestly don't. Because why would they put so much money in to then sell?
Because
they
can sell it for more money.
Yeah, they can get double back.
Have you ever heard of commerce?
Mate, I work in the public sector. I've got absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
Bricks and mortar, my friend. Value. Cashish.
I can't see him selling. Within the first 5 years of being in the
new
stadium.
Maybe not first 5 years, no, but we've got to sustain this model for that long for him to make that sort of profit on it, I think.
And that makes Kane 28.
Yeah, you've made profit. Should we move on? We've done the league. I think we should definitely...
Can we carry on with business studies, please?
No, we should definitely mention the Champions League, because that was a shit show this season. It looked as if we weren't ready for it. It was like all the talk was of Wembley. Everyone was really excited. Cheap tickets, 90,000 people, home of English football. We're going to have Monaco, Leverkusen and CSKA. Of course we're going through. That's 9 points straight away. And it kind of fell flat on its arse within half an hour when Monaco went 2-0. So do we just need to be prepared a little bit more for the Champions League next season? I mean,
I think let's just hope Poch has learnt a bit, because his team selection was at times baffling for the Champions League.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what cost us, along with Kane being injured for most of it.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough.
I think there was that. I think we were quite unfortunate in the way the fixtures fell as well. We seem to have quite big league games following Champions League fixtures, if I recall. We had City after Liverpool.
We had Arsenal.
And
as well.
Poch has always been priority, he's always been in the league. And we had injuries coupled with big fixtures. Hopefully, the fixture computer will be a bit kinder to us.
Do you know what's going to happen? I've said this on Twitter. Bayern Munich are going to sign Paulinho. We're going to get Bayern Munich. He's going to score a winner at Wembley.
That'd be worth it for the laugh, no, though, wouldn't it? That'd be fucking hilarious.
No, I wouldn't.
I'd love You'd to have to deactivate.
I'd love to chat to him in the mix zone.
Gallo humour. That'd Top be man. Brilliant.
I'd be banned from Wembley.
I think there were several things.
Is he actually signing for Bayern?
No.
Rumoured, but...
Allegedly.
Doesn't want to.
Sorry, can I make my point? Can I make my point? Or?
Yeah, go on in.
Well, it's ruined now.
No, please go on.
No, I think that.
Please, no journalist. Tell us your inside knowledge.
Journalist!
You're editing that out.
No, I'm not. Why not?
You are, or you won't be doing another pod.
Okay.
It's come
to yes!
that.
Free. I'm not editing anything out. This is your.
All right,
okay,
let me make my come point on. In that case. I think there were many. Many reasons for the Champions League failure, but I do agree with Jim in that it could have all been very different if we'd won that first game against Monaco. I also think Kane's absence was a big deal, and that Poch. The thing about this team is it does seem to have evolved and got better as the season's gone on. And the Wanyama Dembele point that you made is a good example of that. The Wanyama Dier point you made. The beginning of the season without Dembele, they looked like. Not particularly dynamic, and they didn't really look like they were a centre midfield partnership that would ever work. And suddenly, in the last few games, it's looked great. And that's kind of an example of how the team's got better. And I think maybe the Champions League campaign was just a bit too early in the season. I mean, imagine if the Champions League started like the FA Cup in January, Spurs wouldn't struggle in the same way, would they?
I think I made the point at the time when we were kind of going over what went wrong. So, you know, before the turn of the year. And I felt like we weren't... You know when we first played in it under Redknapp and it felt like every single one of them was this enormous occasion and we were like preparing for it for like weeks properly. But kind of the stakes are a little bit higher now and we were in the league, we were still trying to kind of find our feet.
It was weird playing at Wembley as well.
It just came about too... Yeah, for how strange it was, it felt like it all came about too quickly and it crept up on us and suddenly it was like, shit, there's a game of football here and Monaco were really a lot better than
Monaco
we thought.
One of the best teams in Europe.
We really underestimated them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said last week, with hindsight, cracking defeat. we'll take 2-1 and both ties every day.
We were controlling it at home as well. Even at 2-0 down, we were controlling
how many did they put past City over two legs?
A lot.
six or something.
No, it's like seven, wasn't it? They got at least two out in.
It was 5-3 at home, wasn't it? And then I think they scored two or three.
They're
a good side. So maybe we've underestimated that a little bit. By
Leverkusen were quite decent. Yeah. They
Leverkusen ties, the double header against Leverkusen. Well,
Leverkusen
were the one.
Finished 12th in Bundesliga.
Yeah.
But they were excellent.
They're very good in defence.
But they were the ones where you think that maybe Kane... Did Alderweireld miss those games as well?
I think he did. Done, I suppose.
Kane and Alderweireld would have made the difference in those games. And then that's the difference between second place and third where we finished.
Yeah. I think... We don't really need to worry.
I mean, we talk about like the Redknapp years. I think the fact there were the reigning champions in our group as well, because we didn't. The group we saw it and we're kind of like,
exactly.
It was kind of like, Spurs, you know, the joke went round. Spurs so Europa League, they're bloody in the Champions
League.
And I think that kind of we didn't have that stellar fixture to maybe get the hype up at all, and then. You know, that happens.
Yeah, I think you're right. We've got FA Cup and League Cups. I don't think we really need to go into that.
I think we should try and win one next year.
Semi-final was... Yeah, of course. I want to win one every year. But, I mean, semi-final was really...
Just to say that this team has won something.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's win the League Cup.
Let's move on. I want to do... So, Dan, you put report cards, which I quite like as an end-of-season thing. So, your top five and your bottom five players. I mean, we can probably... I hope we can all agree on our top five. Kane?
Yeah.
Jan?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wanyama.
Yep.
Eriksen.
Yep.
Ali.
Yep.
Hold on. That's not my top five.
What?
That would be who goes out and who comes in then?
I've got Kane.
Yep.
Oh wait. Yeah, it is. Kane, Eriksen, Wanyama, Jan, Ali.
Yeah.
Now I put special mention to Davies and K-Trips because the fact that they've been so in the last 14 league games, we won 13 of them with Davies at left back, is pretty incredible, really. And Trippier's just been brilliant when he's come in.
Yeah,
I know he was at fault for the United goal, but Martial turned Alderweireld inside out as well.
I think honourable mention is the
honourable
correct
mention,
level
yeah.
that you're at there. Because, for Davies has played as many games as Rose. Rose was better in his games than Davies was. Done well,
but the team was better in Davis's games.
Yeah, okay. Dan, you pulled a face at Wanyama, I think. What?
I'd almost be tempted to put Toby in there. I feel like he's
I think you're
one of those players that's got to the point where we expect excellence and so we ignore excellence because his standards are just so high. And Jan... I'm calling them their first names. Vertonghen's been brilliant, but I've always said, and I sort of stick by it, that I think Toby's the kind of player that makes anyone who plays next to him look so much better.
And Vertonghen cost Hugo the Golden Gloves.
Yes, that was a shame.
Golden Gloves not a thing.
It's an actual thing. I saw the trophy. Yeah, it looks like it's. They bought it from Timpson's or something. It's terrible.
No, I think it's I think it's a shame that you could tell that the whole.
Are you tricking me?
No, there's an actual trophy.
There is,
it's like a goalie doing that.
I thought that was a bit of a shame because you could tell that the whole team was kind of with Kane on his golden boot quest. You know, like when he scored the first goal against Hull, I think kind of Ali went up to him. You could see him sort of say something like, "Oh, this is." Yours, mate. Well, you know, whatever. But no one really gave a shit about Lloris's.
Oh, but Lloris's face. No,
they're defending against Leicester and Hull, and you could almost argue United was all. You know, once the game was safe, it was all a bit relaxed, wasn't it?
And fair enough.
No one was really thinking, "Oh, we need to get Hugo this award."
How good was the fact that the minute the season finished, Eric Dier was eating a big, fat, fucking greasy pizza.
Yeah, mate. He's my spirit animal. He really is. As soon as he's got nothing to do for a few weeks, he orders a large, bang.
He does double laps, doesn't he? He comes back and he's Joe Belushi.
I think we should abandon the quiz because we're running
Do it now.
We're already running over, Dan. Right, we'll do the quiz now then, Dan.
All right. Okay,
let's do it. End of season. We're not going to do listener questions. We're going to do a special Dan Kilpatrick.
All right. A lot of it is going to be made up on the spot.
Of course it is. Okay,
how do we buzz in?
I'm going to talk you through it. Okay, so the first couple, I just want the first person to shout out.
Okay.
And then there'll be a couple
where... the first person.
Yeah, the first person. and only one. You only have one answer. And then I might change the rules.
Of course.
Okay, Dan's big fat quiz of the season, inspired by Harry Potter Triumph.
Quizzy P.
is starting now. Eric Lamella scored the first Spurs goal
Everton.
Of the season Everton. At Everton, but who provided the assist?
Eric Dyer.
Janssen.
Kyle Walker.
Correct. Nelly.
I saw that on the video yesterday.
Which Spurs player did Mauricio Pochettino compare to Lionel Messi in September?
Marcus Edwards.
Correct.
Yes.
Great shout.
1-1. Okay, now this one, I'm going to ask you... actually, no, fuck it. First person to shout out, but you only get one answer, and then the closest person wins. How many times did Spurs score four or more goals this season?
7.
8.
9.
Ollie wins. It's 12.
Oh, 12? Was it really?
That's mental.
Yeah.
12 times.
Yeah, but including like Wickham Leagues and Millwall. And
you know, Wickham are the only team that scored 3 goals against us all season as well.
They're bloody good, though.
2-1.
Harry Kane directly contributed to the most league goals, 36. So there's goals and assists. But who was second?
Eriksen.
Ali.
Correct.
Oh. Yes. Also, my last stat was a lie because Chelsea got 4 against us in the cup semi. So, sorry, carry on.
Who scored Monaco's second goal at Wembley?
No. Mbappe.
Bernardo.
Bernardo Silva.
Well, I don't actually know this one.
It was Bernardo Silva.
Yeah, I definitely got
I said
first.
That first.
Bollocks. We're coming. We'll go back on that. We'll stop the recording and listen if we have to. it was Bernardo Silva.
That's actually the end of the questions that I've written down.
Oh, brilliant. Well, that was good. Cheers, Dan.
I think I won.
Yeah, I think Ollie, he did actually. Yeah.
Ollie won that.
I don't think it matters who got
this.
The
is an outrage.
Yeah, I mean, this was awful.
This is
half Balkan, half human.
Yeah, this was really.
No, you're all wrong. Oh no, sorry, I'm looking at the
for fuck's sake.
Right,
let's move on to listening questions.
We haven't got any. We're doing your quiz.
We bumped it for this bollocks.
I picked them up on my phone.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Thanks.
Don't worry.
Somebody did ask, actually, I remember the at as well, which is a bit weird. THFC Echo of Glory asked about Levy, and we kind of went over it, but it's definitely a valid question. But what?
So why are we doing it again?
Because I've got fuck all else to talk about, Jim.
Hey, calm down. I've got one for you. Okay, THFC Echo of Glory. Due to wages,
what are you doing?
The one I was just about to say. Unbelievable. Right, hurry up.
Okay, what should be our first point of business this summer?
Not doing a podcast again. That's the first port of call.
What should be our first point of business this summer?
Buy Zaha, buy Barkley.
No Barkley. Buy Zaha.
Barkley, I like him.
Imagine what Pochettino could do with Barkley.
Yeah, but I imagine what we could do with Zaha, and I think that we're not buying both, so if we have to pick one, I would choose Zaha.
Find a new right back, probably.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that's probably going to be the one, isn't it? What do we do with that?
Do you guys trust Trippier?
Yes.
No.
His understanding of Kane is good, isn't it?
Yeah, but his understanding of defending is less. That's
yes.
Yeah, but it depends if we're going to be playing 3-5-2 or whatever it is.
I agree. In the
3-4-3.
Yeah, with the three at the back, he's actually can get away with it.
Mm.
But there are times where we're.
But my question would be this: so if you're an opposing manager or an opposing team, and you look at the back five of Walker, Dyer, Toby, Jan, Rose, and Lloris. What weakness are you targeting?
Probably Lloris, if any.
You've got to get. But yeah, I agree. I do agree. But you've got to get through that five
Lloris to even get there. Not a weakness.
No. I know he's not. I'm just saying. If you were to pick the most vulnerable player out of those six, I'd say Lloris.
Maybe Dyer, but
yeah, I disagree wholeheartedly with you there.
Well, I'll think of it. But you know what I'm getting at, though. That if you're going to pick the player to target...
They're all good.
If Trippier is in for Walker, you know exactly what you're targeting. In the same way as teams targeted Davis. Liverpool targeted Davis when we went
Trippier
to Anfield.
Trippier doesn't like people that can run at him.
No.
Players with close control that he's not comfortable in that situation. He's okay against, you know, blocking crosses and, you know, finding his position. But anyone that's willing to take him on, he really struggles.
Got a nice question here from Ollie Whitefoot at O Whitefoot.
Mate, it's the last one.
Is the current mentality or ethos of this squad ingrained so that even if the manager and players were to leave, we'd still retain this Tottenham. So I think the point, I think ignore the manager bit.
I was going to say that's the biggest
ignore thing. The manager bit. So let's imagine Poch stays but lose a few players, like it's happened to Atletico, and Simeone has kept them competitive. Do you think we're now at the point where Poch could do that with Tottenham? So let's say worst case scenario, you know, Walker, Dyer and Toby all leave and we have to sign replacements.
It takes time, doesn't it? Look at the players that have come in with Sissoko, Enkudu, Janssen. It hadn't just clicked straight away, and it even took Wanyama a while, and that was with him playing week in, week out.
And having played with Poch before.
And then look at the fullbacks. When they first came in, they were, Davis was a bit of a liability, but now he's fine.
I still think he's a liability, actually.
Well,
he's playing against someone good.
Yeah,
Mane, or even the Swansea guy.
He's the weaker part of the team, the Swansea guy.
He had a tough time against Swansea against...
Montero, was it?
Supercharged centre-forward. Who crossed for their goal.
But even so, what I'm saying is it takes a lot of time for them to get up to speed in this team. It's taken the squad who have been together now for 3-4 years this long to get this good. So if we lose 2-3 players, if we lose Walker and Eriksen, who I think is one of the most important players, and one other who comes in regularly, be it Son or someone like of that ilk, I think we'll really struggle.
I think we're at a bit of a tipping point. If we had maybe another year or so with the exact same squad or first 11, then I would say, I think as long as Pochettino stays, then we're fine. But I think we're at such a tight area now.
It depends how many leave, doesn't it? Mm. Yeah, if we lose Walker, we'll recover from that. It's not going to be end of days. But if you go and lose Walker, Dyer and Alderweireld, you know, that's 60% of your defenders.
I think Dyer's one of the most important players in the squad.
That's an extreme example, but I feel like if Walker were to go, I wouldn't really have a huge problem with it because I would just back Poch to find a fullback and train him up.
I'd be gutted that he actually wants to go, though, because this team's on the cusp of being really special. I mean, it's special now, but really, really special.
Yeah, it's silverware away from being legendary for Tottenham, you know, the cup-winning team of, you know.
He's been at the club a long time, and I don't want him to leave because I've always been a really big fan of his and think he's a great defender, but... Maybe he just kind of wants a change of scenery.
He was only on for a short time against United, but some of the passes he made were brilliant. Like, you wouldn't see Trippier making those passes.
No, and Trippier is nowhere near the level of Walker.
He's a steady understudy, but he's not Walker.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. We can probably end the podcast there and end the season there.
Lovely.
It's been amazing, but it could be a tricky summer, but I do think we're going to come out of it, and I think we might challenge again, even at Wembley. I don't know. I've got this feeling that we might actually negate Wembley really, really well.
We're going to win the Community Shield, mate.
Yeah, I know. First trophy on offer. We're going to win the bastard. Right, Jim and Ollie, thank you very much for coming down for last of the season.
Cheers.
Season 3, we'll probably get on for the opening ceremony.
I'd expect nothing
less, mate. You listeners are spoiled.
Yeah, exactly. Dan, it's been an absolute pleasure to share this season with you.
Likewise,
I've learned a lot from you.
I should think so.
Yeah.
I've tolerated a lot.
I know you have. But I'll do better, Dan, because I look up to you. Thank you.
Such a sour note to end on.
Thank you very much for joining us for this season. Thank you for all the guests that have been on, and thank you for all the listener comments, listener questions. And we'll see you next season. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.